The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Thanks, team, for leading us today. If you're a guest, I want to add my welcome to the other welcomes. Thanks so much for being our guest here at Summit Malden today. My name is Jason, one of the teaching pastors and elders. Get the opportunity to be here most weeks, 3 weeks in a row to start the new year, which is great. Hopefully when you came in today, someone said hello to you. There's a guest card located in the seat in front of you, maybe a couple of seats down from you. We would love for you to fill that out. At the end of our service today, we're going to receive an offering. Some baskets will be passed, but all we want you to put in the basket is that guest card. And we just want to write you this week and thank you for hanging out with us and being our guests here. It means a lot that you would spend your Sunday morning with us. If you're a regular, it is great to see you as well. And hope everyone's had a pretty good week. I wanted to say a couple of things before we jump in to the passage this morning. One, last week, and we were kind of rushed at the end, and I was crying too much to talk. But last week was super kind and gracious of you all. Now, I know a lot of you were also surprised. You didn't know what was going on. People were coming up to me in the lobby going, what's going on today? Because Kyle was here, and Charlie Boyd, my friend from over at Fellowship Greenville, was here. And so for those of you who weren't able to join us at the end of the service, there was a little bit of a surprise, and it was very kind of everybody, and kind of acknowledged 20 years in full-time vocational ministry, and they prayed over me and my wife, which is really sweet. And I was handed a booklet full of letters. And I got home, and it was later in the afternoon that I sat down on the couch with a cup of coffee, and a surprise to no one, and started to read through, I don't know, probably close to 50 folks who had taken the time of friends, a family, staff team here, ministry partners through the years that some of our team had reached out to them and asked them to send me a note, a word of encouragement, and it was really, really sweet. I about page three, I flipped over, and there was a very sweet letter from Bob Rome. Bob was a campus pastor at Cedarville University when I was there, discipled me. My junior year, my senior year, performed the ceremony for my wife and I's wedding, and I don't get the chance to talk to him much anymore just because of life. And I don't know, just those, there were just so many things that were not expected. Number one on the page, the first one that I opened up was a really sweet note from my lovely wife. So thanks for writing, that was very nice of you. I know you didn't have to, but way to go. And last week at the end, I just said some babbling things, and then I got home, and my wife didn't say anything to me about it, but then it was kind of like, you know, when you win an Oscar, and it's just like that. It's like when you win an Oscar. Those of you that have won an Oscar, it's like when you win an Oscar, and then you get up to thank people, and then you know, and then they have to come out the next day with a press release and go, I forgot to thank my spouse. I love my spouse, and so, babe, this is my Oscar moment. I don't even know if I said anything. I was just crying. I don't remember much, but you're the best, and When you get the chance to do what I get to do, I don't ever feel like it's something that I get to do. I feel like it's something that we get to do together, and I'm super thankful for that. And it's great to have someone who understands the ins and outs of pastoring and doesn't begrudgingly say, "I know you have to go do that," but says, "Oh, good grief." Who says lots of times when I'm heading out the door, I'm praying for you as you go do that. Which leads to yesterday. I woke up and had missed a couple of phone calls, and I don't normally get a lot of phone calls on Saturday morning early. And one of those calls was from Kip Kelly, and Kip's our executive pastor. And some of you have seen this on Facebook. We updated our social media page, but yesterday morning early, Kip's oldest daughter, Maggie, passed away. She's 27, has a seven-month-old baby boy. Yesterday, 7 months old, as a matter of fact. And Cash and Maggie live with Kip and Tracy there at their house. And it was time for Maggie to go to work. And Kip had actually already seen her that morning and talked with her a bit. And then she went in to get ready for the day to go to work, and then she didn't come out when obviously it was time to leave. And so when Kip went to check on her. She had passed. And they don't know the causes, the things. There'll be an autopsy and that sort of thing. But as you can imagine, as you can only imagine, just a real shock for the family. And so just had the opportunity to go and sit there yesterday with him and his family. And we'll keep you guys up to speed in regards to details. There'll be a funeral, obviously, this week and stuff like that. We appreciate prayers for Kip and Tracy and for their family during this time. The Cherrydale family, Kip and Tracy, go to Cherrydale. That's where they are most Sunday mornings. Even though Kip's our executive pastor and moves around a little bit, that's where they worship on most Sunday mornings. That's where Maggie and Cash were plugged in, church family there. So a hard morning, especially for those at Cherrydale. There's just a lot of relational connection there. I was at some of our friends' house, Levi and Lindsay Hunt, at the end of 2018, and I saw sitting on one of their tables this booklet, New City Catechism. I don't know if you've seen this or not. I would highly recommend it. I recommend it. I started flipping through it, and I said, well, this is pretty great. And some of you are familiar with catechisms, and some of you maybe grew up learning some catechisms and some real foundational biblical truth that is good for us as followers of Jesus. And when I saw it, I liked it so much that I got copies for all of our Summit Kids directors and for our student ministry directors, and I got one for all the campus pastors. And I said, hey, this is something, maybe just a resource that you might want to have. And I decided for myself, as I went into 2019, there's 52 of them, I decided that I would, just in my own time alone with the Lord, this would be a part of what I would use. And so over the last couple of weeks, I know we're only 3 weeks in, so I'm just going into week three. There's just one a week, and I'm just kind of praying through and processing through and trying to memorize some things. I'm not a strong memorizer, but I don't ever want that to be an excuse, not to the discipline of memorizing good things that I need to process and think about. And so I was just reminded, to be honest with you, over the last day of Catechism number one in this book, which was this. That's what I read all the first week of January. I'll try to read it without crying, yeah? What is our only hope in life and death? Answer. That we are not our own, but belong body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And with every week, there's this little scripture that goes with it as well. This was, for this week, it was Romans 14, 7 through 8, which I'd like to read. And I'm going to invite Jim Wishart, one of our deacons here, to come up to the stage. And Chris, we'll just use one of these mics. I'm going to have him pray for Kip and Tracy. But before he does, I just thought this verse from Romans 14 was such an encouragement to my heart and mind. It says this, for none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Amen? Let's pray for Kip and Tracy and their family.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we gather together to worship you. We praise you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. Father, as a family of God, let us now gather around and comfort the Kelly family. Father, let us not ask why. That's not the right question. Let's just be comforted by the fact that you love us and that we're all going to go to be with you one day. Father, thank you that you've provided a way through Christ that we might be saved eternally and to be in your presence. Father, help us to do all that you want us to do. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, friend. Appreciate that. You know, one of the things, this isn't my message, but one of the things that I've noticed through the years is most everyone eventually ends up with a theology of suffering. Just about everyone who walks this planet will eventually end up with a theology of suffering. And those whose hope is found in Jesus, they walk a little differently, not easily, but differently. And I'm thankful that you guys will have the opportunity to love on Kip and Tracy. And if you have their number, I mean, feel free to shoot them a text. It's totally fine. I talked to them about this. I would just say this. I think one of the kindest things you can do in those moments is to begin your text with this. No need to respond. That's always really nice if you're wanting to encourage someone who's walking through some difficulty. You can drop them a note. You can, if you want to bring in a card even next week and hand it to me. I mean, Kip's in the office typically, you know, every week. He won't be in this week for sure, but he has an office here, and so we can get him any notes and words of encouragement that you would like for us to be able to get to him. The deacons at Summit Cherrydale are loving on them in practical ways and meals and that sort of thing. And some of you have just reached out to me via text or phone call and said if there's anything we can do. And we will let you know if there is. But just know in this moment that they're being loved and cared for. So thank you for that. I just wanted to share a little bit of that with you today. I am excited to continue our In the Way of Grace series. If you're joining us for the first time here in the new year, this series we're doing is based off of a prayer that I've been praying for the people of Summit and for myself, for you, for all of us over the last several weeks. And this is a recap of the prayer that we would intentionally continue to, or maybe for the first time, put ourselves in the way of grace and from that place extend grace to others. That we would intentionally continue to, or maybe for the first time, put ourselves in the way of grace and from that place extend grace to others. You see, as you read throughout the scriptures, you see person after person who put themselves in the way of grace. They put themselves in the path of Jesus, and their life was drastically altered. Now, 2 weeks ago, we looked at just two of those people, a blind guy by the name of Bartimaeus, and then a wee little man by the name of Zacchaeus. Last week, I shared with you that there are three specific ways that I believe we can put ourselves in the way of grace as the new year starts, through the word and through prayer and through belonging, what it means to be a part of biblical community. And we're kind of taking a few weeks to talk about each one. I specifically took last week and again today. I want to talk about the word, God's word to us. And this was the big idea that we talked about last week. Step one to engaging the word is to love the one who has given you the word, but you come to love the one who has given you the word through engaging the word. Yeah? And we looked at Psalm 19 and how David, the psalmist there, talked about God's word. If you aren't here for some reason, if you missed that, summitupstate.org is our website, and all of our sermons are posted there, and you can give that a listen if you would like to. I think it might be an encouragement to your heart. I think it might be an encouragement to your mind. But I wanted to take, if I could, I wanted to take one more week. I realize I'm just right here. I'm sorry. I'm going to do this. Totally blocked. Do that. Right there. No, it's okay. It's not your bad. You're fine. Sometimes I like to look over and see Casey and see if he's in. It's good. Right there. It's like perfect. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, you guys are fine. All right, you're good. All good. I wanted to take one more week, and I wanted to talk about the word and how it is essential to putting ourselves in the way of grace. Yeah, to intentionally put ourselves in the way of grace, because it does take, and this is part of what we've been talking about, it does take intentionality, right? I mean, this is a big piece that I don't want us just to rush past. Last week on Summit Drive Time, our weekly podcast that we have here at Summit Church, Brandon and I took another 22 minutes, and we talked about being intentional, about really thinking well about practical next steps when it comes to our walk with the Lord. And even for our message today, as I was thinking and processing this week, like what are next steps, practical steps, when it comes to engaging the Spirit of God through the Word of God, which is essential to intentionally putting ourselves in the way of grace. Right? Those are all tied together. Now, here's the deal. For some of you, and I know we're different, not everybody's the same, and that's a good thing. Some of you maybe aren't really evaluators of other things, or even maybe an evaluator of yourself. Like, you don't give a lot of time to evaluating things. So a message like this actually might be a little bit of a challenge for you. Others of you, like that, you're just constantly analyzing things. Maybe you overanalyze things. Like, you're constantly evaluating. I probably lean more towards the constantly evaluating, overanalyzing types of things myself. But one of the things that I'm constantly thinking about is, how are things working in regards to my walk with the Lord? Now, I probably need to explain that a little bit, right? Not in a mechanical way, not in a robotic way, but like in a relational way, in a everydayness of life sort of way. Maybe I can say it this way: not unlike other important relationships that I have, like with my wife, right? We've already had our Oscar moment today, or with my kids, or my two daughters, or honestly with the staff team here at Summit Church. Like, a question that I'm regularly asking myself and evaluating is, am I being intentional with them? You guys do this, right? Like, with your spouse, don't you spend time thinking, am I being intentional with my spouse? If you have children, don't you spend time thinking about, am I being intentional with my kids? And what are steps, not mechanical, what are relational in the everydayness of life sort of steps to continue to be intentional with my kids or with my spouse? Is my relationship with them growing? Is my relationship with them blossoming? Now, I think those questions come from a place of great appreciation for them. Like, those questions that I ask myself about my relationship with them come from a place of, I love them because I know them. And because I love them and I know them, what else do I know about them? I know of their love for me. So I want to continue to think well about next steps in the relationships that I have with people that are close to me, not mindlessly, not inconsistently, honestly, but with great intentionality, with a plan. You guys have heard me talk about this before. Like, my wife and I, like, we're not perfect in this. I'm not saying just do as we do, but what I am saying is, like, we have a plan. We have a plan for dating. And this is a plan that we stick to. And I have a plan with my daughters. And I've learned that from talking with other people and having other people invest in me, right? You have your Bibles. Here's what I want you to do. Open your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to continue to read. Just a few more verses about the beauty and the benefit of the Word, yeah? 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 14 through 17 this morning. We'll talk a little bit about them. But really, my hope today is just to give some practical resources to you. This is what it says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Verse 15 says, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, we'll stop right there for just a second. I know we're not teaching through 2 Timothy in its totality at this time, but I still want to give you context, because context is always important when you're teaching the Bible. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy's a young pastor. Timothy's working at the church in Ephesus. And Paul's writing him from prison. He's in prison in Rome. And at this point in time, it's believed that Paul knew that he didn't have a lot of time left on the earth when he's writing this letter to Timothy. And so what Paul's writing here to Timothy is incredibly personal, because they're close friends. He's invested in him and discipled him. So what's happened is some false teaching is rampant, always seemed to be the case. Truth be told, it's still the case with the church today. And Paul's encouraging Timothy to be faithful. And directly tied to being faithful is this idea of being in the Word. Of knowing the Word. Look back at verse 14. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So we read of this encouragement from Paul to Timothy to what? To continue in what he has learned. Now, there, first few words of verse 14 say what? But for you. That's how he started verse 14, which means that it would be maybe beneficial to look back to verse 13, because in verse 13, Paul's talking about the false teachers of the day, and he's talking about how they are deceitful, and he's talking about how they are being deceived. Because here's the deal. Without continuing to be in the Word and hearing from the Spirit of God through the Word of God, you can be deceived. So when he says, but for you, he's talking about Timothy in contrast to those who are being led astray or who are leading others astray. So the intentionality of putting yourself in the way of grace through being in the Word, that's not a Jason idea. This is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. Continue in what you've learned. Timothy, continue to be intentional in what you've learned. For me, Paul, who has taught you, Timothy, and invested in you, Timothy. But we know from reading in other places that Timothy's mom and Timothy's grandma had been intentional to teach him the Old Testament scriptures when he was growing up. So what do you see even here? It's not just an intentionality of Paul with Timothy. There's this intentionality, which I love, of parents and grandparents being willing to teach the Word to their kids. But you and I know as parents, if you're here as a parent, if you're here as a grandparent, what's the best way to communicate to your kids in regards to the Word? It is from an overflow of what you have learned and what you are learning from the Word, right? Look back at verse 15. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Stop. Just look at verse. It's so practical today. It's really what I want to do. Parents and grandparents, being intentional with God's Word in regards to kids coming to know Jesus. I can't wait for it to come out, and maybe I shouldn't even be saying it yet, Chad. I hope it's okay, but my friend and mentor, Dwight Smith, who happens to be Chad's dad, is currently writing a book, and the whole book is to grandparents on being intentional, stewarding well their walk with the Lord in the lives of their grandchildren. Can't wait for it to come out. Like, how great is this? What a great reminder for us. Hey, look at me for just a second if you're a parent. What's the best way to say this? Would you like for your children, as they grow older, to intentionally put themselves in the way of grace? Now, I'm not God, and I don't orchestrate all things, right? So we're clear there. Good. Continue. Mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, continue to put yourself in the way of grace. And I get it. Listen, some of you, this is even hard to process and think through, because some of you in the room, and I'll acknowledge this because everybody's story is different, some of you have been faithful to put yourself in the way of grace, and your kids have chosen not to walk in the way of grace. So I acknowledge that. And I'm not making a one-to-one, so everybody hears that, right? If you do this, then automatically God does that. You hear me on that, right? That's not what I'm saying. And at the same time, I'm still going to look back at all of you and encourage you as you pray for the Spirit of God to do what only the Spirit of God can do in your kids' lives, because he's the one doing it, that you put yourself in the way of grace, because that is the Spirit of God doing what only the Spirit of God can do in your life. We have a responsibility of pointing little ones to Jesus through the Word. It's the reason I love what's happening in this hallway today. I'll get to that in just a second. Hit pause on that. I'll talk about my own life for a sec. My mom and dad loved Jesus, and they were committed to a couple of things that, as I look back on it now as a 43-year-old man myself with two daughters, I'm incredibly thankful for. They were committed that we would actually belong to a body of believers. They were committed to this. Not because they thought God would like them more. Not because they thought God would love them more. They knew there was value in biblical community. And so guess where we were? Church. Amongst the people of God. Being taught the Word, singing the songs. In the student ministry. Like my mom and dad looked at it and said, if there's going to be another man and another woman who are going to give of their time to come alongside you and say the same things that we're trying to say, I'm all for that. And I know they did. Well, I mean, you know how it is as parents. And they come home from youth group and they go, you're not going to believe this. Miss Caitlin, Mr. Brandon, Miss Heather, Mr. Will, Mr. Lyle, like whoever you want to put in there, they said blah, 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 blah. Isn't that awesome? I've never heard that before. Yes, you have every day in this house. No, my parents were committed for us to be in church together. And so that meant certain things for us, right? It means for us, it meant that we said no to some things that were fine things. They were good things. But for our family, this was the important thing. And we were going to be there. Again, not legalistically, but because they valued it. And I'm thankful for that. I'll tell you the other thing that I noticed and that I saw as a young kid. I cannot remember a morning of my life when I lived at 125 Convair Drive, where my mom and dad still live. I do not remember one morning that I got up and didn't see my mom sitting on the couch, cup of coffee in hand, with her Bible open. I don't have one memory from my childhood of walking out of my bedroom in the morning and not seeing my mom sitting there. I don't know how it turns out for my girls. I know what I pray for my girls. But I'll also tell you this, and this isn't braggadocious, this is learning from people who have gone before me. My girls will not know of a day where they didn't get up and get ready and come down the steps and see me sitting in that chair with my cup of coffee and my scriptures. And I pray they catch that. Not a guarantee, I get it. But I pray that they do. Earlier this week on Facebook, I posted something that said, sometimes as parents, we're not exactly sure what our kids are processing and thinking through. And then there's moments where God gives us a little bit of a glimpse, maybe. My wife teaches at Shannon Forest, and my girls go to school there, and Kate's in fourth grade, and she had the opportunity, her teacher gave an assignment to write their own psalm. Do you have a picture of this? This is my daughter's psalm that the teacher, we didn't know, took a picture of and sent over to Jen and I. When I'm scared, you are my protection. When I am sad, you are my joy. When I cannot move, you are my brace. When I am cold, you are my warm blanket. When I need someone, you're always there. And he'll be there for you too. Right? It's not braggadocious on Kate. That's not braggadocious on Jen or Jason Malone. That's the kindness of the Lord. It's the kindness of the Lord doing things. It's a fourth grader to the best. It's a fourth grader to the best of her knowledge and ability, putting herself in the way of grace. And God's the one that's doing it. I alluded to this, and I'll just say something else about it really quickly. I got mom and dad. I'm super thankful for their example, but I just want to say this, and I started to say something about it. I think practically this is the piece of Summit Kids and student ministry that we have here. We have such a committed group of people who want to invest in our children. And I know some of you maybe are newer with us. This is how it works around Summit. If you have a child who is in our children's ministry, we ask you to serve in the children's ministry once a month, right? That's our deal. If you're going to have adults who are constant, people who love Jesus, constantly investing in your kids, then would you please take a Sunday a month also and invest in other people's kids and point them to Jesus? And we don't have to pull teeth around here to get people to help out and serve, and I'm super thankful for that. And I drop my daughter off at student ministry on Sunday nights, and I see the volunteers that are here. And I did student ministry myself for a decade with about 50 volunteers that helped me invest in the students that I had responsibility to shepherd and care for. Last week in this hallway, there were 90 kids and workers. Last Sunday, I don't know what the numbers are for today. Last Sunday in this little hallway right here, there were 90. The teachers that were working last week are shaking their heads vigorously at me right now. I see you over there, Fields. Yeah, there were. Not every kid, I mean, here's what we have to acknowledge. Not every kid has intentional parents. So will we be intentional when we have the opportunity to hang out with teach kids and to teach students when they come, when they're a part of Summit Church? And Summit Church, this is the other thing I love about Summit. It's made up of a people who in the everydayness of their life are intentional with the gospel, right? With thought and with the word as they interact with kids and students outside of this place. So many of you are involved with children and you're involved with students not inside the four walls of here. And you're being intentional with the gospel in those places and you're coaching teams and you're showing up at homes and you're just loving on children. I'm super thankful for that. Now notice as we keep reading 2 Timothy 3:16 what it says. How Paul talks about the word. Here we go, verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So just like last week, whose scripture is it? God's, right? Last week in Psalm 19, David kept reminding us verse after verse that the word was the Lord's. And here Paul says, God's. It's breathed out by God. And this has everything to do with the authority of Scripture. And it is the important thing to remember, especially in a world of false teaching and false teachers. And honestly, it goes back to the very beginning. What did the serpent say to Adam and Eve? What was it that the snake said? The snake said, "Did God really say?" That was the question in the garden. Did God really say? Fast forward, 2019. Let me tell you the question that's constantly being asked by our culture and in some churches. Did God really say? But what does Paul say in God's word? God's word, God breathed. The creator of the universe speaking. Well, if that's the case, then these words, they will teach and they will correct and they will grow us in righteousness, right? That's what it says. Of course they would. Why? Because they're God's words. Now, I just want to ask questions. Why would we not intentionally put ourselves in the way of that? To think about that? Why do we look to other things to put ourselves in the way of, so to speak? Why is it that the pop psychology of the day is the preference? Why is popular opinion your opinion when it's contrary to what God has breathed out, his words? Why seek advice on social media platforms if God's word is sufficient in the matter in which you are seeking advice? I'm very animated right now because I see it all the time. What does it look like to grow in God's word? And what God's word has to say, so that you can actually hear the foolishness of the world, that you can hear the foolish advice of the world, that you can hear the false teaching that is regularly in front of you via TV, radio, movies, social media, Christian bookstores. This is, you guys have heard me before, but this is near and dear to my heart as your pastor. I mean, one of the questions, and you just let me know. I'll make a deal with you. Not that I don't ever miss some things, because I can miss some things. I totally admit that. But if you would like, because I'm back on social media, if you would like to talk to me after the service, you shoot me an email and say, "Hey, Jason, I know I post on social media sometimes. If you see me post something that is jacked up theology, will you reach out to me and let me know? Like, if you want to give me that." Maybe I don't need to ask for that freedom. Maybe as your pastor, we can just have that conversation. I'm just trying to be nice and polite. It's like sometimes people post stuff and go, uh-uh, that's act. It would be a I think you've heard me say it. It'd be a full-time job to be on social media and just write underneath people's posts, "This theology will wreck your life," period. "This theology will wreck your life," period. And here's the deal for us, and you know that we mean this. Our commitment to teaching the Bible here at Summit is a piece of putting yourself in the way of grace. I think it's an important piece. I've already talked about that this morning in regards to being a part of community. We'll talk about it more in the weeks to come. But it's not enough. We would say this. It's never been enough. It was never the deal for it to be enough to combat the constant attack of the worldview being shoved down your throat 24/7 and my throat 24/7. Because here's the deal. God's word to you will grow you in competency and equip you. This is what it says. For every good work he has for you to do. Nobody else is making that deal with you because nobody else is your creator and knows exactly every good work that is before you except for God, the one who created you. And make no mistake about it, he has things for you to do, for all of us to do. Paul said to the church in Ephesus where Timothy's now pastoring, he'd already said in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And now as Paul, he's saying the same thing, reminding Timothy of the same thing here in verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, equipped, look at verse 17, equipped for every good work. So here's the deal. In this moment, Paul says, when we put ourselves in the way of the word, that is where we are equipped. Now, that's why I'm most interested in people's walk with the Lord through the Word. He has things for us to do. You know, sometimes, and some of you are the same way, like you have friends or family, maybe yourself, sometimes I sit with people and they want to talk with me about the big plans they have. I got big plans. And they want to talk about kingdom stuff. I got big plans for the kingdom. Now, through the years, for me, you know what I'm listening for when they start talking about that kind of stuff? How they talk about the Word. Have they been in the Word? Is it in line with the Word? So I need to wrap up. Here we go. Practical, just super practical. I hope it is for you. Practical habits for you and for me. Where do we begin? Some of you are going, yeah, I want to grow in this. This is a thing for me in 2019. I want to grow in putting myself in the way of grace. And part of, I hope, what we've caught even in these last two messages is that it comes from a place of loving the Lord. The Lord loves you, and so it's a gospel-motivated piece. But I just got a couple practical things. If you're a note-taker, you can jot them down. Take a picture of the slide behind me, whatever the case may be. Here's a couple of things. Number one, create space. Yeah, super simple. Create space. In the rhythm of your life, do you create space to hear from the Spirit of God through the Word of God? Create space. Those of you that are parents and you have little ones, if you have little kids, look at me for a second, one of the most important questions that you can ask your spouse on a daily basis is this question. Ready? Hey, babe, have you had any time today to hear from the Spirit of God through the Word of God for yourself, just in the midst of everything going on today? Someone encouraged me with this when I was a young dad, that I would come home to a wife who the schedule is what the schedule is, and the schedule is the kids when they're little and they're all over the place. And coming home at Jen and going, have you had a moment of peace and quiet today? One of the ways that you can be a piece of spiritually leading your family is just to ask that question and then create the space for your spouse to have some time, some uninterrupted time, yeah? And the other thing I would say is this, give it time. So create space and then give it time. Like, what does it mean to be a lifelong learner? What does it mean to go, I want to do this with my life? Spurgeon said, nobody ever outgrows Scripture. The book widens and deepens with our years. A lot of you who have a little more life experience, if I handed you a mic today and said, give us a testimony, this would be your testimony, that the book has widened and deepened for you through the years. And then another one, super practical, I'll throw it out there to you really quick. Meet with someone and talk with someone about the Bible for their growth and for your growth. How, now, you, some of you are going, Really? This is, yeah, really. Like, create your schedule in such a way that part of the rhythm of your life is that you regularly get together with someone else to talk about the Bible, what you're learning and what they're learning. Good grief, this is not overly complicated, but it does take intentionality. I love it. I get the chance, you know, part of my job is I'm always meeting with people, and part of my job is I'm usually meeting with people in coffee shops. And on the regular, I drop into coffee shops around this area, and you know what I see? I see you guys. I don't always say hello. Sometimes I do. It depends on what kind of conversation it looks like you're in the middle of. But I see y'all meeting with other people, and your Bibles are open, and you're having conversations about the Word, and I love it. I absolutely love it. It happens quite regularly. And you guys are thinking creatively. I got an email this week from a lady who attends here at Summit Malden, and she said, I just put out an invitation to the ladies in my neighborhood to see if they wanted to get together and study the Bible. And 7 of them said yes. What? Yeah. That is a very spiritual neighborhood. Actually, what she said is not all of them maybe are even believers. Yes. Come on. Let's talk about it. People being intentional with that. So that's it. Just meet with someone and talk about the Bible for their growth and for your growth. My friend Lyle over here, is it okay? It's fine, I've already started. Also, you're wearing Under Armour today, so you're in. Good job. Lyle gets together with a couple of guys every Friday morning, right? You guys are meeting, and you're walking through Romans together. Studying Romans. It's not a study, it's not an official, it's not, are you ready for this? It's not an official study of Summit Church. It's people getting together and studying the Bible. Yes, we're for that. Love it. So create space, give it some time, and meet with someone on the regular and talk about the Bible for their growth and for your growth. Now, here's what we got for you today as you leave. I'm going to be wrapping up. There's a sheet that you can pick out up at the information desk today. You can also go online, summitupstate.org, and /word, I believe. And we've got some resources. Just a couple of resources. This is not an exhaustive list at all. Do we have a couple of things we can put up there for them? Bible apps. You got the YouVersion. You've got something called Dwell, which is a new audio Bible app that keeps Scripture in your ears and on your heart. Oh, it says Brandon wrote this up for me, using genuine voices, beautiful music, and is deeply explorable. So that sounds nice. Did you know you can do this? You want to talk about modern technology? Did you know that while you're riding down the road, did you know that while you're going down Woodruff Road, wondering if you are a Christian? Do we have a clip? Play this. Here you go. This can happen.
Continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus.
That's wonderful. It would have been great if it was the fruit of the Spirit, but it's great. I like what we set up right there. You're going down the road. No, it's great. A lot of people are doing this. I've been talking to more and more of my buddies, and when they're driving, part of their commute is someone just reading Scripture as they go down the road. Did you know that's a thing? Not only did you know it's a thing, did you know that's a thing that the Spirit of God would love to use in your life to put the Word of God in front of you? Yeah, super practical. I love that. There's some Bible study helps. Whether it be the Gospel Coalition, Desiring God, the Bible Project, all of these are really, really great. And again, they're on a sheet out there, or they're on our website. We want you to see that. You can take classes. Take classes. Continue to learn. The River, Brian Aachen, my good friend right here, who leads The River. He's taught some for us on Sunday mornings. We'll be again in the near future. Did a class for us on the Holy Spirit in the fall. Out at our information desk today, there's winter into spring classes that are being offered right around the corner and sometimes in our back room. Yeah. If you're interested in taking some classes, The River provides the opportunity for Christians, it says here, to cultivate a growing understanding of Scripture, basic doctrine, ministry skills. They offer classes all throughout the year. Our BSF, and we have a lot of folks, we have almost, I feel like, one or two people at all of our congregations who are leaders in BSF, if you're interested in that. Okay? Super practical for you. So pick up that sheet as you head out today, or go online and check it out. But here's what I want to do. Just bow your heads and close your eyes. And I just want to pray over you for just a second. Last week we ended our service by me asking a question or two. I'm not going to do that today. But I just want to give you a quiet moment there in your seat to listen to the Spirit of God and what the Spirit of God might be saying to you in regards to practical next steps of you, me, us, intentionally putting ourselves in the way of grace by putting ourselves in the way of the Word. Because those things go together. So take just a moment and pray, and then Brett and the team will lead us in a song.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.